We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Schreckman Show. First hour in the books. Oh, it's a Friday night. Don't forget, 10:40, we will end the week and end your Memorial Day or get your Memorial Day weekend really cranked up with Rank'em. We encourage you to text us or tweet us your four items on your list to rank. 404-741-0929, by the way. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to leave us a comment. Also, too, the Radio.com app is what you download to make sure that you catch us on the go. We know you're not spending as much time in the car unless you were, like me, stuck on 400 a day. And, of course, the vice president coming down south on 400 today. But if you're not in your car, Radio.com app is the most convenient way to always listen to the radio station. We know you want to, so do it through there. Download that. Put that on your smartphone or your tablet or your smart speakers or your Commodore 64, your Walkman or your turntable or your boombox or I don't know what you got, like a Casio watch, a Texas Instruments calculator. Just download it onto something. That way you can catch us on the go. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is helping you stay connected, too, with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. For more info, go to radio.com/stayconnected. At 929 The Game is your social media connection, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the platforms available to you. Follow us on our personal Twitter handles. That's the best way to keep up with us. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. We'll kind of confirm some of that when we get to the Falcons flyover tonight. I don't know if Jarvis saw the rundown. One of the things on the Falcons flyover saw a particular, you know, columnist that covers the Falcons for the AJC's article titled today. But anyway, he is producing the show back in Midtown. Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. Hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend coming up. Don't forget, it will not be myself that will be on air on Monday. We will have live local broadcasting. Jarvis will be part of that as he and Sam Crenshaw will be hosting the show from 7 to 11. Who's producing that, by the way, Jarvis? Who's the producer for that show? So Dylan will be producing the show as Jarvis will be sitting in the announcer. Are you going to be in Midtown? Are you doing this from home, Jarvis? Let the listeners know. What is your locale for doing this particular show on Monday?
I will be live out in the Conyers, out there in the country, man. Broadcast from the country.
Okay, so this will be like when you did the draft night show. You did the you and Willie P did the show Was it Thursday or Friday night that you guys did the draft show or something like that?
It was Thursday night after the first round. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So it'll be remote based broadcast. And now Sam's been on remote too, right? They're not him and Greg haven't been doing the show down in the studios, right? Those guys have been remote as well.
Oh yeah, they've been holding down at the crib too, man.
Okay. All right. So the great Sam Crenshaw will lead things, and Jarvis will be part of that on Monday. I'll be driving back from the beach on Monday. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. So you know, as this G League select team continues to come together, last week, and I hope I'm pronouncing this name right, it's Kai Soto, K-A-I for the first name, S-O-T-T-O, Kai Soto, 7'2" center from the Philippines, became the fourth player to sign with the new G League select team. Now, he's a, you know, another top flight prospect. He's joined other five-star high school recruits, Jalen Green, Isaiah Todd, Dacian Nix. That basically it's not affiliated with an NBA club or any G League franchise. This is that select team that they're talking about, which will, you know, play. They'll put together a team. They'll have some veterans in there as well. There's been rumors about Sam Mitchell potentially being the coach for all of this. And, you know, of course, they get the nice contracts where they say, you know, some of these guys can make as much as $500,000 a year. Penny Hardaway was talking a little bit about this. You know, he is the Memphis basketball coach. Speaking of Sam Mitchell, Sam was there recently coaching with him. But talking to ESPN's The Jump yesterday, Penny Hardaway's talking about some of the new challenges about recruiting and trying to get, obviously, some of the top players, saying that it came as an unpleasant surprise when the NBA began allowing high school players to sign with a G League pathway program. Quote, it's going to have a huge impact because it's just a recruiting war right now when it comes to that. But I think it's going to affect us because we're recruiting a bunch of five-stars. He says that when they took the money from a smaller level to a larger level, then that's fair. That's definitely more appealing to a certain group of guys, as we saw this year, talking about some of these five-star guys. You know, and as I kind of get into this and read and see the things that are going on with this, I like this more and more. Because I do think in a lot of ways that college basketball has been insulted by the dearth of the one-and-done guys. And unfortunately, you know, unfortunately for college basketball, it's been a lot of one-and-done guys who are not one-and-done guys, who think they're one-and-done guys, but they're really not one-and-done guys. And I think that's what's really hurt college basketball, is the fact that you get so many of these kids that, you know, after a year or two are convinced that they should be the next big thing, and all of a sudden, you know, it comes back to, you know, maybe not. You know, not everybody's Zion and LeBron, you know, or, you know, that level of, you know, as a high schooler or a first-year player, you know, Ben Simmons, you know, not everybody's at that level. They think they are. You know, they think that they're at that level, but, you know, they get to the league and they realize that they're not. And I really do, and I know there's a lot of people that disagree with this. I think college basketball, if they're not going to go automatically to, you know, high school to NBA, and this is the go-between, I think that this is a good thing. I think that this is a very good middle ground, because, you know, in a perfect world, it would be, okay, you know, go to, and I know some people like the baseball model. Okay, you can get drafted out of high school and go to, you know, in baseball, it's, you can go to the major league, sign a contract, or if you go to college, you got to be there 3 years. Okay, sort of like football. You got to be 3 years removed from your graduating class to be able to get, you know, to get into Major League Baseball. Now, if you get drafted and you go to Major League Baseball, you're not going, you know, if you're drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays as the sixth pick of the draft, you know, that first year, you're not in Tampa playing. It's a little bit different. That's where I like the idea of the G League. And look, and this will get people upset. I know. It's okay, though. I mean, if we're playing that game on a Friday night, Memorial Day weekend, if we're playing that game called Who's the A-Hole, okay, I'll be the A-Hole in this. The NBA has shown you that they have the money to prop up leagues, because they've propped up the WNBA for how many decades now? It's the NBA's money that props that league up and keeps that league afloat. Even though they don't pay players a lot, and a lot of their players, to be honest with you, some of their star players have decided to go overseas to China and places because they want more money. Got no problem with that. More power to them. But let's face it, You know, the WNBA has survived because the NBA itself has helped prop that up financially, commercials, this and that. And I understand. They've got their TV. Okay. All right. All right. It's piggybacking off what the NBA does. Call it what it is, okay? So if the NBA has the money to do that, as they've become this global monstrosity of a brand, certainly they have the funds to be able to put together a league where, okay, guys are getting paid because that's what they want. I mean, let's face it, that's what they want. And listen, let's say a kid is making $500,000. Even with name, image, and likeness coming into the world of collegiate athletics out there, it probably would be hard for somebody, let's say even at Duke. You know, maybe Zion, you know, maybe you get that rare person. But by and large, to be able to pull in that kind of money through name, image, and likeness is probably few and far between. So this, to me, is such a good alternative. And I know it's gotten a lot of backlash. And I know a lot of coaches don't like it in this, that, and the other. But I think in so many ways, college basketball has gotten insulted because it's become more about the name on the back of the jersey, and better learn his name quickly because you won't see him play for the team that's on the front of the jersey. And say what you will about college basketball in the old days. And yeah, people don't, you know, oh, you guys are so old and this, that, and the other. Yeah, but there was something to college basketball. Yeah, truthfully, they did have a lot of their stars that stayed on campus for 3 and 4 years that in today's age would have never. I mean, can you imagine Patrick Ewing? You know, his first year, can you imagine Patrick Ewing after the North Carolina game when they lost the national title to Michael? In today's world, he would have never been on campus. He would have never stayed at Georgetown, even with John Thompson and all that. He wouldn't have stayed. He'd be in the NBA. So, yeah, I understand that a lot of these stars were able to stay together. But I do think that one thing about college basketball is it's always been a lot about the name on the front of the jersey. Not just a guy's name across the back of his jersey, but that university and those colors and those buildings in that environment. You know, I do think that there is something to that about, you know, think about how many great collegiate basketball environments they are. It's Louisville. It's Cameron Indoor. It's you know, anything on Tobacco Road, you know, North Carolina, Kentucky, Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. Pauley Pavilion out in you know, L.A., what's the name of the place where Arizona plays? I mean, just you get so many of those great environments in college basketball that maybe if some of these teams get back to, okay, it's about team and it's about succeeding for the long term versus I feel like I got to cash in right away. And, yeah, I understand there's pressure to win and all that good stuff. I get all of that. But still, I think there's something to the idea of, what does it mean to have your name, you know, the front of that jersey? What does it mean for all of that? I think there is something to that. And I think college basketball has lost a lot of that over these last, you know, however many years. I mean, I always talk about Ben Simmons. It's insulting to say Ben Simmons was an LSU basketball player because he really, he did what he had to do to get himself into the NBA. And he used LSU as a pathway for it. All right, speaking of college basketball, Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. We'll let you hear that interview coming up next. It is the John Chuckwood Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 910 The Game, welcome back into the John Chuckwood Show. Hanging out with you on a Friday evening. Watch a little SmackDown. Checking out the action. Tomorrow night, too, by the way, on Fight TV and pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, AEW's pay-per-view will be taking place. You know, the last one, last year, that was the first pay-per-view that they had done out in Las Vegas. Obviously, that part is not going to happen right now, but Double or Nothing should be an interesting, because the follow-up to that will be whoever wins the TNT Championship, Mike Tyson's going to be on the broadcast coming up on Wednesday, so it should be some pretty fascinating stuff. Earlier today on Dukes and Bells, we were talking some college basketball in the last segment. Tom Crean, the head coach, the head basketball coach for the University of Georgia Bulldogs, joined the guys. And the guy started off by asking him, were the expectations too high coming into this past season?
Well, I think if any, we had 10 new players. And I think any time you're going to have expectations with 10 new players, I mean, there's a real learning curve that's there. And I thought we were really trending the right way, especially at the end of the year. We were getting better. I felt like we were. And the Ole Miss game was great. We had a couple of hiccups late in the year. LSU game was not good, and we didn't make shots really in the Florida game like we needed to. I think the bottom line with our team was we did not, we gave up too many points at the rim, okay, defensively, and that was a product of not having really good shot blocking, rim protection, low post defense at times. But more than that, more than anything else, we just didn't make enough open shots. I mean, we shot 30% from three. We were second in the nation in points in transition per game. We were third in the nation in points per rim at the game. But the bottom line is we didn't make enough threes. And we've got to get that better. And we absolutely do. But we were very, very young in a lot of spots. We started three freshmen the entire SEC season, which I doubt anybody else did that. And we just had to live with some of those mistakes and live with getting better. And work to get better and live with it as we were trying to get to that point. But all in all, I thought we had a lot of guys that got better inside of the year. And it was disappointing to have the season end when it did, especially the way we were starting to play, or the way we were playing at that point.
Coach, one of the things that, and I told Anthony Edwards this, you know, when he came on the show, I said I was critical of him at times. And again, I know he's a freshman, but he's so talented that I wanted it at times watching games. I'd go, Anthony, take more shots. And then at times I wanted him to be more of a facilitator when things weren't going his way. And, you know, I asked him about it. I want to get your opinion on that, you know, because when you have a guy like this, you know, the notion is that you just roll the ball out, right? And you go do your thing. When, in fact, we know it's not the case. There's still coaching and evolving going on with these young players who may have all the talent in the world.
Well, evolving with a capital E. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's a great word. That's a great word. I mean, that really is. That's a great word to look at this. I mean, because he should have been a high school senior. And at the end of the day, you know, when you're on a national stage, not only because he's at Georgia, but because of the player he is at the age of 18, and you have, you know, the people being critical, people having ideas, people having expectations, you can say, well, yeah, that goes with the talent. But at the end of the day, he's still an 18-year-old young man that's got a lot to learn and had a lot to learn. And I think he did. I mean, I think when we look at our team, I would put him either as number one or number two and most improved players on the team from when they got here in June to when the season ended. He did have a lot to learn. He had a lot to become more responsible for as a basketball player. He worked really hard at that. He's one of the greatest teammates I've ever been around. In 20 years as a head coach and as an assistant coach before that, one of the absolute most infectious personalities with his teammates, wanted his teammates to be successful. But again, a lot to learn. And that's why the next couple of years for him are going to be so crucial with what organization he goes to when it comes to relationships, when it comes to mentoring from veterans. There's so much of that is going to play into this, and so much of it, because he's on the cusp of continuing to really grow into being a great, great player and one that's going to be renowned for a long time. But go back to your word again, the evolving is going to be really, really important over the next couple of years so that his growth doesn't get stagnated as he goes through it.
Tom Crean is with us, guys, head coach for Georgia basketball here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Yeah, we figured top three. We even like him coming here and playing in Atlanta. I mean, no, the guy obviously has got the skills. We knew when we thought going in to be a one and done. But him going to the NBA, how does that help you build the brand? Because guys know you developed Dwayne Wade and obviously what he went on to do. Can you still, I mean, does it still help you? Can you still get the recruits and obviously build off this?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and he got better here. And again, we just didn't have, you know, a lot of times he had to do more for us, maybe at points and times than would have been natural because we weren't making the outside shots, right? And he had to get to the basket and because we had to be able to stay in games. at certain points. And so, to me, it's a matter of continuing to recruit guys that are going to come in and really, really fit. Like, he loved being in Georgia. I mean, obviously, we knew he was going to be here in all likelihood for 1 year. But I think he really, really loved being here. I think it was a great environment for him. He's a part of it. You know, he's a Georgia kid, and I think he really was ingrained in this atmosphere here. So that's a positive for us. But I think the biggest thing is that we just continue to build this program in a way that gets people that can really play well with one another. I think we're college sports and college basketball, because that's obviously what I'm doing, are changing so much, is because there's going to be so much change, because it's going to be so easy to transfer like it already is, because there's going to be so many people that if it's not going well for them, they're going to go do this, or they might go to the G League, or they might leave early for the draft, whatever it is. You've got to keep finding people that are compatible with each other, because if you can build some compatibility, okay, with your players, and you can get a level of commitment from them to one another, right? And how hard you have to play, how hard you have to work, you know, learning, you know, what it takes, and along with what we're trying to address right now, because it was not a strong point for us last year, we're trying to address the leadership aspect and get some older guys in this program that can help these younger guys. I think that's really going to be crucial. The hard part for us right now is we're going to have numerous guys when they get back here that are not going to have a full year of college basketball yet. A full year of college basketball is really going from June all the way through the spring into the summer, because you get a chance to come for 8 weeks that first summer that you go in. You've got your season. The spring, I look back at what Nick Claxton did last year inside of the 4.5 weeks that we had after the season, and the amount of improvement that he made from coming off a really good sophomore year to the 4.5 weeks that he had. I used to tell my staff, I said, he's getting so much better. I said, all we're doing is pushing him right into the NBA draft, because he's improving constantly. Well, think about where we'd have been if we'd had Nick Claxton this year. But sure. But the fact of the matter is, that's what you do. You develop your players. You help them get better so that they continue to grow. You keep putting them in situations where you know what their dreams and goals are down the road, okay, when it comes to the future of and it comes to pro basketball. But you want them to totally be locked in to where they're at that given moment, all right, in that given year or that given time frame in their life, and really, really get them to give of themselves to Georgia, give of themselves to their teammates, and do the things that's going to be needed for us to have success.
Coach Tom Crean joining us here on Dukes and Bell, head basketball coach at University of Georgia. Coach, I want to pick your brain about this whole likeness thing and players being paid. We're not there yet, but we're headed there. You've been doing this a long time. What are your initial feelings about this? Because I've talked to coaches who said they don't like it, and other coaches are saying, you know, I can't fight this, so I'm going to have to get on board. Where are you?
Well, there is no fighting it. I mean, it's coming. I mean, so the people that don't embrace it and don't try to learn as much about it, or that all they're doing is just wasting time and energy. And so I don't want to be that. But with that being said, there's not nearly enough information that's been given yet as to how this is all going to work. And I think that's you know, we'll have this conversation months down the road, and it'll be a completely different conversation, because there'll be more knowledge as to how much involvement you can have as a university, how much involvement you can have in a program. You know, what are the rules and ramifications going to be? It's like the transfer rule. If the transfer rule would have gone into effect this past Wednesday when they had the vote, okay, it would have come. We'd have had to deal with it. But there was no way that there was enough information on how it was going to affect so many different parts of your program, different parts of your athletic department, graduation rates, APR rates, all those different types of things. So there's a lot of things moving fast, especially with the Rice Commission after the FBI scandal that we had. There's so many things that are coming in that they're here. They're going to keep changing. We just got to have more information as to how it's all going to work. And then we got to trust our administrations, which I certainly do, and trust our league, which I certainly do, on how we're going to implement it and how it's going to impact it.
Because that's the thing, as Tom Crean joins us, we talked. You mentioned the G League. You've got the G League to worry about. I would hope, though, if these guys can make some money off their likeness, however it's going to play out, do you believe kids will stick around? Because now, as you said, I mean, the idea of Anthony loved his experience in Athens. Imagine him sticking around for 2 years for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the NBA draft of kids leaving after high school is going to come for years. And I think there was a time frame where we all thought it might come by as early as 2022. I don't think that's even going to come close to happening now. And I think we could be looking at this being somewhere in 26, 27 before we know, or we might know earlier, even when they vote on it in maybe in 25, 24, 25 as to what's going to happen if kids can leave right after high school. I think the G League is going to be a viable option. I don't think it's a bad thing like some do. Again, it's here to stay. Mm. It's not going anywhere. I mean, it the problem is this. And I just don't know how we're going to navigate it. The problem is you're going to have so many younger players now that are going to get in their mind, or somebody is going to tell them that, hey, you're going to have the G League option. You're going to have this. You're going to be – there's too many that are already here, and, well, we're all this, we're all that, right? And all of a sudden, what's going to be the problem is the academic part. And that is a concern. You know, what is going to happen – with the person, because if you're not locked in on the basketball court, if you're not locked into improving, well, you know what? You're not going to. Well, you know what? You can improve all you want, but if you're not locked into your academics, and if you're not locked into getting good grades and getting educated, you're stunting your growth big time. And if too many people start to think that they're going to leave and they're not going to need to pass this class, or they're not going to need to have these credits, well, all of a sudden we're going to have a real mess. And that's what I worry, because I think it sounds so great when you see Jalen Green get $500,000 and Isaiah Todd and all these kids are getting this money. They're not all getting that money.
Right.
They're not all going to get that money. Now, they may decide to go to two teams. What it really is, and I think this is the difference in between, you know, obviously when you look at the basketball difference, there's a lot of differences when it comes to life, but the basketball difference is this. Are you better prepared to come and play a 30, 31, 32 game schedule plus the tournament and be in battles and get coached every day to where you've got to go through adversity and you've got to go through hard days and you've got to structure your time and you're getting educated versus going into a situation early on where you're playing like exhibition games? You know, like, it really comes down to this. Are you trying to get drafted? Are you trying to be ready to play in the NBA? Because it is two entirely different things. And I try to get across to kids, there's NBA draftable, okay, which a lot of people are. Doesn't mean they're going to get drafted, but there's a lot of people that are NBA draftable. Then there's NBA ready. And NBA ready means that at some nights in December and January and February, you're playing, okay? You might get 18 one night. You might get four the next. But you're not just sitting behind the bench and sitting in the G League. You're ready. I mean, like, you're playing. Well, then there's NBA playoff ready. And I've had the good fortune of coaching some of those guys that when they got into those young years, those rookie second year type of things like that, they were able to contribute in the playoffs. Now, those guys are rare. But NBA ready is pretty rare, too. And I think you've got to determine, what do I want to be? Do I want to be drafted? And do I want to try to be in a development situation for a lot of years? Or do I want to be ready? And Anthony is a completely different case, because he's going to have to develop because he's 18 years of age. But at the same time, physically, all those different things, he's going to be ready to play in the NBA. He's just got a lot that he's going to have to get better at as he goes through it. But if he does, he's going to be a very, very young all-star. He's going to be a very, very young all-defensive team guy. And I think he gets into the right franchise, he's going to have a chance to really help them win. But he's a really rare guy. And unfortunately, with all that's out there right now, too many people think they're rare. They're not that rare. There's a lot of people that are draftable that are doing this deal.
It's great stuff. Tom Crean, we appreciate you, Coach. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for the time. We look forward to catching back up with you soon.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Glad you're part of the show tonight. I know it's getting the start of a holiday weekend. Going to be nice to have a little bit of time off, some R&R after what's been a crazy last couple of months. That is for sure. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We encourage you to leave a comment there about anything going on with this show. Social media is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you. As always, give us a follow on Twitter. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Of course, Radio.com app, too. We encourage you to download that because that's the best way to listen to the radio station when you are not in your vehicle. And we know you're not spending as much time there as you have been, although you would never know that by the looks of 400 this afternoon. My goodness, took a while to get home. It was not quite an hour, but it was moving up there, about 40 minutes or so to finally get home. So check us out on the radio.com app. We'll get to What's Bugging Chuck right here in a couple of minutes. Going to be a lot of sports still going on this weekend. I know not everybody's a wrestling fan, but you know, we got a wrestling pay-per-view coming up on Saturday with Double or Nothing for AEW, so that will be some fun. And obviously NASCAR with a big race, the Coca-Cola 600, which, you know, is obviously one of their big events, and Memorial Day and the celebratory nature. Now, I don't know how they're going to do everything. I don't know, you know, exactly what they have in mind for the presentation, because no fans, and you're not going to have, you know, a lot of additional people there and things like that. But still, you know, it's a big event. It's you know, one of NASCAR's bigger events anyway. So, and after a couple of races under their belt already, now we get one of their kind of flagship. I would think that this would be kind of considered one of their tentpole events, you know, Daytona 500, Coca-Cola 600. I mean, a couple of their bigger tentpole events that they have to, you know, really kind of celebrate things. And of course, this, you know, this race run at night, it starts at 6 o'clock. You know, you get, normally you have the Indy 500 and then you'd have the Coca-Cola 600 after that. And we've seen, you know, some of these guys that have done both races, in the same day. So, you know, a big race weekend, that should be a lot of fun. I'll bet they get a pretty good number out of all of that. You know, I think they should get a pretty good rating. I think people, you know, tune in for the curiosity and see what it was going to look like. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, I think everything went off pretty successfully for NASCAR, but now you get one of their kind of bigger events. And, you know, while there won't be a crowd and all that there, still, though, I mean, a very cool environment to be a part of all of this. All right, speaking of something that's, you know, part of all of this in a cool environment, let's get to what we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, according to Harry Gardner, who I guess is part of the stadium authority of Ring Central Coliseum. Now, if you're not familiar with Ring Central Coliseum, it used to be, you know, that was the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. It's where the Oakland A's play their baseball games, okay? It's called Ring Central Coliseum is the name. And I should say Henry Gardner is the interim executive director of the stadium authority. He told the Bay Area News Group a couple days ago that the Oakland A's had informed the stadium authority that it could not pay the $1.2 million annual rent that was due on April 1st, citing the coronavirus pandemic. Quote from Gardner, they said because they haven't used it, they were not able to generate revenue, and they have no ability to pay. We recognize that we've all been upended in a number of ways. Maybe there are some things we are willing to negotiate and waive, but we can't just say no rent. Says, according to a letter from the A's sent March 31st and obtained by Bay Area News Group, the team cited a force majeure in its contract with the stadium, which covers extraordinary events such as a pandemic, as a reason for not sending the rent payment. A's general counsel DeLorna Ellis wrote that the team would defer payment, quote, until we have a better understanding of when the Coliseum will be available for other use. Now, here's the thing. First off, the Oakland A's are owned by a conglomerate. Okay? They are led by a group that is headed by Lewis Wolf, who's a real estate developer. The primary owner, the majority owner of the Oakland A's is John J. Fisher. Any idea who he is? Okay. He's the son of Doris and Donald Fisher. Who are Doris and Donald Fisher? They started The Gap. Familiar with that clothing line company, Gap? Gap Kids, Gap Baby, Gap This, Gap Your Teeth, right? His net worth is reported at only, by himself, only $2.4 billion. That's just his net worth. That's nobody else in the group. He, by himself, as the majority owner, is worth $2.4 billion. Let me read again what the rent is on Ring Central Coliseum. $1.2 million annual rent. And the Oakland A's are crying poor that because they haven't had 70 people come and watch them play, that they're not able and they don't have the ability to pay from revenue generated. Now, look, everything in life is relative. Understand that? Everything's relative. $1.2 million, while I understand it's a ton of cash, to a guy that is worth $2.4 billion, and by the way, like I said, he's only one guy in a group that's headed by a real estate guy. How many millions do you think he's got, too, by the way? Let's say he's only got $40 million. Let's say these guys combined only have, outside of Fisher, only have a few hundred million. Are we really going to nickel and dime? It's no wonder the mayor of Oakland doesn't like them anymore. It's no wonder that whole situation has become nothing but a bunch of angst out of all of it. I mean, seriously. You got people everywhere across the country fighting, scratching, clawing just to pay their bills, and you got the Oakland A's saying we can't raise the revenue because we couldn't play baseball this year because the 70 people that show up to our games didn't help us to be able to fund it. Meanwhile, Mr. $2.4 billion guy that is the lead majority owner of a, by the way, group, and I keep going back to this. It's not, listen, they're not the Spirit. This isn't seven guys who have about a million and a half combined trying to figure out how do we, make enough money off hot dogs and Cokes to be able to, put together payroll for the hockey team. This is a guy who out front has $2.4 billion amongst a group of guys who God only knows what they've got combined. I don't even know. I don't know how many guys, but it doesn't matter. One guy's got $2.4 billion. With all due respect, I'll bet he's bought yachts that cost more than that. I'll bet you he's had weekends in Vegas that probably cost more than that. With all due respect, pay the damn rent. If everybody else in the world is trying to figure out how to pay their bills and pay their rent, pay the damn rent. Pay the damn rent. And stop with the, because the 70 people that show up to our games and the $80 we make off Cokes and hot dogs from them weren't there, that we can't pay the lease of $1.2 million. That's the annual rent, by the way. Again, has everybody gotten together and just said, how can we goof on Chuckery? Has everybody just gone insane? Maybe I've just got more free time to look up everybody's insanity nowadays with what they say and what they do. Figure it out. I'm working two jobs. I'm paying the rent. I'm doing what I got to do. Pay the damn rent. And when the 70 people that come back to your stadium to watch the Oakland A's, just think of how far ahead of the game you'll be. Maybe then you'll recoup some of that, and you'll only be worth maybe $2.3 billion when it's all said and done. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929. The world has lost its mind. I'm convinced of it more and more every day. People are losing their minds. When we get back from the top of the hour, by the way, we will get to our Falcons flyover. Still got a lot of show to go. Be halfway home with you here. Don't forget, 10:40 tonight, we will do Rank 'Em, the segment that is almost guaranteed to get myself thrown off, or get at least to get a call into the principal's office. So no better way to end a long week as we head into Memorial Day holiday than to do some Rank 'Em with you. So, but coming up next, we will get to some Falcons flyover, including Pete Prisco, who has his top 100 players in the NFL list. He's got that out, so we will get to that all next. It is the John Chuckery Show. We're hanging out with you here on a Friday night, headed toward the nice long weekend. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.